has given us in which to talk on, and we're going to call this teaching today, "We Will Have Tribulation in This World." We will have tribulation in this world. And I'm taking this from Jesus's words in John 16, and verse 33 of John 16. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we're calling this, as the scripture tells us, we will have tribulations in this world. First, he says here, he uses the word peace, shalom. And he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." So our peace first has to be in Christ. Because if that peace, his presence, is not with us and in us, we will never understand these tribulations and these trials that we go through. Because this peace is the work of Christ in us. This peace helps us in which to enter by faith. You see, faith obviously needs the word. Our faith comes as we hear the word of God. But to apply this faith, we have to be in relationship and fellowship with God. And we have that peace as a result of his presence in us and through us, of which faith must work. And secondly, there is peace from God, which we draw from the word of God, which we see here. He says, "In me you may have peace, in the world you will have tribulation." So secondly, there is a peace from God, which we draw from the word of God. So the word of God, as we read it, is comfort, it's peace, it's joy, it's encouragement, it builds us up in the faith. And thirdly, this peace, shalom, is of God. This is the inward peace that comes through commitment. And this peace will always deal with anxieties, worries, doubts, unbelief. It will always trust in the Lord because of this peace that he says that we have. "In me, you may have peace." And fourthly, peace in the future during the millennium, when Christ has finally overcome all things. So this peace that we have in reconciliation with Almighty God is very powerful indeed. And it brings a peace to the soul, to the heart, to the mind, to the whole being of us. It's one of the main characteristics of our salvation. We see, if we turn briefly to 1 Corinthians 15, which speaks of Christ's coming and his bringing in the millennial reign. We take it up from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 to 28. 24 to 28, he said, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." So he's speaking here now of his work that he has done in redemption. And he says, "For he must reign till he has put all enemies, under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, he is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we see very clearly the work that Christ is doing in redemption, in reconciling, drawing man back to Almighty God, that remnant that the Father has given to him. And then we find at the end of the millennial reign, where the enemy, Satan himself, is released just for a short season, and he goes again to deceive, then the Lord finally wraps up everything, new heavens, a new earth, everything new, and then he hands everything back to Almighty God, that God may be all in all, fellowshipping again in the new creation through his Son. Isn't it a tremendous, it's mind-boggling, the plan of God, how he's working, bringing this all together, and he gives us that peace, his presence, as an assurance in this life. And so this peace is absolutely vital, going back to our scripture with regard to the tribulations that we must go through. And he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In other words, whatever trial you are going through, it is not going to defeat you. It might look as though it is, and the enemy can become very vocal, but he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, and my peace is with you as a sign. I've overcome the world, I've overcome your trials, everything that you're going through, I've gone before and prepared the way, you will come through. Why does he say this confidently? Because nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Here it is, that peace, that fellowship, that unity, that oneness. So we really do need to hold on to that with regard to these tests and trials that we do face, and we will face them. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We're in a continual warfare with the physical, the mental, the moral, the spiritual areas of life. We spoke on it on Sunday. For example, with regard to our health, because we believe that healing is provided in the atonement. It's a balance between the physical parts of my body and all the things and the forces that surround me. So our body physically is constantly under attack. There is a continual warfare going on all the time. We know this in our bodies, in our blood, in our immune system. There's a constant fighting going on. And then there's the elements, there's the pollution, everything that's warring against our physical body. And that's why we make so much about healing, deliverance, because God says he renews our youth like the eagles. Wish to God that more preachers and teachers taught this behind the pulpits. To maintain good health, we have to have sufficient internal strength to fight off the things that are external because of the outside forces and so on. So the heart is vital. The word, as we receive it into the heart, into good ground, releases that faith to believe God's blessing, God's provision, God's protection over my life. It's important to understand this. You know, there are a lot of people reject healing because they don't see it in the atonement, or they make excuses it was just for Israel in the old covenant. There's a lot of confusion with regard to the atonement, the blood of Christ, and what is provided in the blood. Praise God, we have had a lot of teaching, revelation in the word with regard to the blood of the Lamb, how we overcome. The book of Revelation tells us how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death. All power is in the blood of Jesus. Many don't really realize that there is divine healing in the New Testament. Again, they simply think it's of the past. It was just Jesus's time. And the early Christians, the time of Pentecost, God's doing a new thing today, they say. Nowhere to be found in the Word of God. You've got others, Christians, who know what the Word of God says. They know that God wants to heal, deliver us, but they make no effort in which to study the Word of God for this, or to resist the devil when he comes knocking with his bugs and flus and whatever. You've got to act immediately. Whenever you feel you're under attack, God has given us the provision. He's given us the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we're ready. We go straight into warfare against the powers of darkness. Some fail to get healed because they're not filling their lives in relationship with God and His Word. They're not following the Lord as they should be. Or you find where husband and wife is concerned, they're both Christians. Sometimes you find the wife or the husband relies more on the spouse's faith than their own faith. I always remember years ago at a conference, one brother said, well, with regard to praying, I'll leave that to my wife. She's the one that does the praying. I couldn't believe my ears what I was hearing. And then we wonder why we're not delivered and healed. Some just don't take time to listen to instructions, how to release their faith, how to build themselves up in the Word of God. Some just don't take that seriously until sickness, disease comes along. And then they find the faith isn't there. There are some who don't get healed in churches because they've attacked God's anointed people. Those who preach the word of God, they've come against them. They've attacked them critically or whatever it is. One should never do that. It says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. That's a divine principle. If there's problems or error, you pray for them. You don't outwardly attack them. We've had it in this assembly. There are some who don't get healed because they don't eat properly. Their diet isn't any good. God gives us wisdom and knowledge, and we're to look after our bodies and what goes in our bodies. All of this is essential with regard to living our lives, overcoming. meeting these tribulations. When you meet your trials and tribulations, it does help if you're in good health. Some are not healed because they take of communion wrongly. They're not discerning Christ's body, the Lord's body. They're taking it unwisely. And we're told that it will bring damnation, destruction upon them. And that's why it says that some are weak and sickly among you, because they're taking communion in the wrong spirit and heart, not right before God. I'm convinced that's a big problem in churches, that one. Some are not healed because they do not look after their body. They don't sleep, have the correct sleep. They take risks. You have to look after yourself. You have to maintain. It's the same with a car. A car has to be maintained and looked after if it's to be a reliable vehicle. It's the same with us. To eat well, to rest, to have a time to draw apart, to eat wisely, and so on. All of this is very practical, and it's in the Word of God. There are some sicknesses that will only be healed through prayer and fasting. And again, it's how the Holy Spirit leads with regard to our divine health. There are some who are not healed. This is one I bring up often, because they let fear, unbelief enter the heart the moment the symptoms come knocking on the door. Some look at their symptoms and immediately they lose their healing. Some don't get healed. Here again is another practical one, because their lifespan is fulfilled. They come to an age, an old age, where they're ready to go home to the Lord. Elisha, we're told, fell sick and he died because he was very old. And yet his bones were anointed when he was in the grave. But all of this is in the Word of God. Some are not healed because their sickness is unto death. We have to accept that. Sometimes, again, very elderly people, they've come to their allotted time span. God is sovereign over a soul. And as long as the soul is saved, that's the main thing. Some are not healed because of the sins of their parents, which can go to the third and fourth generation. Again, sometimes the gifts of the Spirit are needed there, maybe to discern something that was back in your great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents. We know insanity comes through that way. Some come for healing, but they're not God's people. They're wanting a quick laying on of hands to get rid of their sickness or whatever, but they don't want to walk with the Lord. And that's why they don't get healed, because we're told healing is the children's bread. Some don't get healed because they're under a curse, or they may have robbed God. I heard of a story just recently of a pastor. He left his church without any warning, just suddenly got up and left, And he took all the money, all the offerings with him. There must have been a fair amount of money they had in hand. Now, I fear for that man when you rob God, because you bring yourself under a curse. Some Christians are not just healed because of deliberate, flagrant sin in their lives. They don't want to give up sin. So, little wonder they're not healed. Some have sinned against their brothers and sisters, and they've not asked for forgiveness, or they've been critical or judgmental, holding wrong opinions about them. It will hinder your blessing. It will hinder your healing. Some are not healed because they have unforgiveness in their heart. They hold on to that spirit and they won't forgive. One could just go on with that, but I've just highlighted some of these main areas that are all scriptural, all in the Word of God. With regard to what we're talking about here, this peace that we have with God. Because he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So all of that is for us to consider. And this is why we have the Holy Spirit. This is why we encourage you to walk close with the Lord, to be faithful, keep coming, keep listening to the word, because then this is what removes anything that could be blocking, blessing, healing, deliverance in this life. Because we have all these forces around us. We're in a constant warfare, not only physically, but spiritually. Even the very elements outside, around us, when we look up in the sky, everything is in warfare. Because it's a fallen world, as well as a war that we're facing right now. We look as though we're entering into World War III. Because everything is decaying. It's disintegrating. That's what's happened. That is what sin has done. And so Christ has come into our lives, hindering all of that. Slowing all of that process, renewing us like the eagles, empowering us by his spirit. This is why we hold on to the deeper life. And we stay with this word because very few really understand what I'm sharing with you. But it's all there in the word. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to sustain, to give life, to bring that balance needed to sustain that life. It's called the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. We need that to sustain our lives in this world. And it's often a warfare. All of you know what I'm talking about because you've gone through your trials, your physical trials. And you find in them, you come right back to the word, to believing, to the one who has overcome all things. That's why in the mind there is a battle. And I have to fight with the aid of the Holy Spirit to produce that right mental balance. And he'll do that so that I'm able to think and harmonize my mind, my confession with the word of God, Romans 10:10. That is what salvation is. It's lining up, harmonizing with what God has said, not what I see or hear or feel, which is always contrary to the word of God. And that's why we have to be strengthened in the inner man. And that's why everything that's not spiritual will lead to my downfall. Anything that is not of God is an enemy to me. And we're targeted with it many times, probably many times through the day. We have people, we have friends who mean very well, but they're probably at times confessing the wrong thing over us because they don't know, they don't understand. You are on another level, a different path. You are from above, they're from beneath. A vast difference. Always remember this. Those who are not in Christ, whether it's your family, your loved ones, friends, whatever it is, as much as we love them, but they are not from above like you are. And that's why Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And we learn to yield so that we overcome the things that come against all of this, that stops us from being spiritual and being led by the Holy Spirit. You see, the enemy, he doesn't want us to be led by the Holy Spirit. He fears those who are led by the Spirit of God. And that's why he tries to attack in the way that he does. And he tries to disrupt our walk sometimes. Or he throws those boulders in front of us to try and trip us up, you see. As I often say, your trials that you go through, it doesn't take long before the enemy gives himself away. What's going on? What's happening? And believe me, he tries every trick of the book. And there are times that God will let him, because God is getting to our faith. He's getting us to the point where we maintain that peace relationship with him. And when the trials come, we're of good cheer. We count it all joy because he has overcome. I will overcome also. Have you got obstacles? Have you got mountains in front of you? Of course you have. I have. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is what Jesus says. And then in time, it's like those mountains, they're gone. They disappear. Where did it go? What was that all about? You see, it's miraculous. We have to overcome, because that maintains our spirituality, our balance, mentally, physically, psychologically, emotionally, everything. That is what balances and keeps us in this walk. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He leaves no stone unturned in your life. He knows every shred of hair on your head. It's all counted. You're never out of his sight. You are constantly there, 24/7, watching, giving his angels charge over you. Why is it we doubt? And so he works his nature in us. He sets us apart for his holiness. All of this maintains our stand, our balance with him. Because we have tribulations in this world. And these trials that we meet, we need to be right with God on every trial. Because otherwise the enemy will get in and he can have a hold over you. Because you're failing in those areas, what I've just shared with you, where, say, with regard to our physical health, he's got a foothold. That's why sometimes if we have health issues, there's nothing wrong but going before God and saying, Father, please show me, what is it that the enemy still has a hold? What is it I am not seeing? Please help me. And if the Lord doesn't say anything, then he's continuing to work with you until he brings you to that place where you're ready, in which to understand, to have your ears and eyes open. You see, we have to remember in deliverance, which this teaching is, there is a right time that God will bring it to our attention. And when he does, that is a clear sign you are at that place. You can keep the door closed. You can walk in faith. You are in that place of consecration. Isn't that wonderful? That's the love and mercy of God. Now, of course, we preach the word, and the word of God is doing that work and conviction and planting of the seed in the heart, all for that right time and season when God says, right, I'm going to heal you now. I'm going to deliver you now. And that's why we endure, we stay with it, we keep coming for that very divine principle. Because God knows we can't take it all. This walk is highly, highly complex. It's mind-boggling. It has to be of God. It has to be the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, in which to do this work in my life. It could never be achieved or done otherwise. Our works, our effort will never, ever come to the standard of the Holy Spirit and how he works in and through us. And so as he works with us and we mature and we grow, we come to that place, then we find this is the day. This is where God's now going to deliver me. This is the day for my manifestation that I'm confessing and believing for. This is why we don't give up. And we stand with one another who is believing. Believing for their healing, believing for their deliverance, or whatever other thing they're believing. Very often it looks ridiculous, it looks hopeless, but we stand with them. And our prayers, our Father, that their faith fails not. And that they will remain faithful to your word until that manifestation comes from my brother or sister. We're not to criticize each other because it looks negative. No, on the contrary. And if a brother or sister isn't seeing properly, then we get in prayer that God will help them to see. That again is part of our healing and deliverance. That's why I keep saying in our fellowship, it is important that we pray one for another, that we may be healed, as James says. That's why some maybe are not. So we've just shared with you some of the areas where God is working with us, both individually and corporately, how he's moving us as an assembly, because he knows that we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have trials, the trials of our faith. But he says, hey, what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and this will not destroy you. This will not consume you, even though it looks as though you're going under. It won't. I have overcome the world. If nothing else, Hold on to that promise that Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And everything you face, everything you're going through, everything that looks impossible, he says, I have overcome the world. And he's going to remove every hindrance to our faith, that the manifestation comes. What for? For his glory. And to show the world that he's faithful to his word and to his saints and his servants, and that he doesn't deny us. He's not a cruel and harsh God, only gives when he has to, because that's how the world sees it. On the contrary, we are mightily blessed by Abraham's blessings. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We will have trials in this world, but the Lord says, I have overcome, and he gives us that peace as a sign, his presence, his closeness, that fellowship, that peace that keeps us together in unity and oneness with him and each other.